I mean, that's kind of like when he returns. You see what I'm saying? So he's appalled. You know, well, should I ask God? He's appalled if you don't ask God. He's appalled. I just think that, isn't that interesting word? It's like, oh my goodness. Why aren't you asking me? Why aren't you asking me? So what we have here is the Lord perceives his standing alone with astonishment. Now think about this. Well, I'm standing alone for Jesus, okay? Well, you're not standing alone. Jesus is with you, and you really got all the angels of heaven with you, you know. But when God stands up there, he goes, and God in a human language is communicating, he goes, I'm standing alone. There's no people. I'm standing alone. Comprehend that. I mean, that's just bizarre, but that's what he said. He's astonished. He goes, I'm standing alone. There's nobody there. There's nobody there. And so being that, we see that the Lord is, now this is interesting, the Lord is dismayed by how few people trust him. He's dismayed. Yes, he's dismayed. I'm dismayed. You know, he's mad. No, we have a home in heaven. He's dismayed that nobody trusts him. And so we see this. And so for him to act true to his word, for him to get the glory, we are his witnesses that he acts on his word. Now think about that. He wants witnesses that he acts on his word so that it will be a witness to him that he acts on his word. So we talk, God, move in this situation. See, and this is where you go, I think, when the president said, I want the church to pray. Now the church will stand up and pray. Now there's a whole bunch of people going to say, that's just nuts. But there are a whole bunch of people going to stand up and pray. And God goes, there you go. You've acknowledged me. You made avenues for me to work. And it's how I work. And people will see me. See, so what we are witnesses through which God works. So when we acknowledge him, we're a witness. He works, and he works through us, and he gets the glory. That's the dynamic of the relationship and how it works and what he desires. And he desires it in every part of our life. You know, and go back to what Jesus said. You know, people, I know people, gosh, I don't know a lot of mountains I'm speaking to, nothing happening. And it's a, but that's what Jesus said. Have faith in God. Just say to the mountain, I'll move it. I created it. I can move it. All I got to say, I just got to say something. I won't have to get our bulldozers, and I just move it. See, you just say it. Because what we do when we say it, having faith in him, we engage with him and release him into that to move that mountain. Amen? And so this is what this is the things he's telling us, you know. But again, to know on the other side of the coin, he's appalled when it's, I mean, when that mountain's moved, we're saying, oh, praise God, Lord Jesus, you know. But when that mountain is there and we don't even ask, he's appalled. I can't believe that. I can't blame my people. They didn't even ask. See, and so that's what he's saying. Now, listen to this verse. Based on just what I said, God's relationship with us, how he communicates with the world, and the evidence of how he does it. Look at this. Isaiah 64:4. By the way, nothing's changed in 2,800 years. Isaiah 64:4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Our God does something. Our God does something. If he's not doing anything for you, you need to press him on it. You need to press him on it. Because the whole point here is, well, I haven't seen it. No ear has heard. A God like you. But what does the like you, what does this God do? Who acts on behalf of those who wait on him. Says, no, the Lord's got this. And we're moving in what we know. We're calling upon him in the situation. The Lord has got this. And that's what he's saying. So we're different because we believe there's a God that moves. And he's also, Paul, he can't believe there's so few. He's so few. They're at the point here, because there ain't anybody. You know, I kind of think when he comes back, that's going to, and he's going to basically destroy the world. I think that's a kind of a not anybody point. You know? And then, okay, just get rid of it. And so you kind of see and you grasp that. And you also think about what Jesus, he told the disciples. He said, narrow is the way, few find it. You read, and I believe the Lord and the gospel spread around the world. I don't read a lot about mass evangelism. The Lord kind of like, now we'll get a bunch and pick about 10 out of them. You know, and so, but what the point of he's saying, because he's looking at those who tremble at his word and trust in him. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for those people. And he's looking for those people to be an avenue for him to work. To work. So it's just a fantastic flow of information here. Now, two, then, if we believe that, we're putting our arms around that, then we see that the world cannot comprehend someone who will act on their behalf. We need to step and put ourselves forward, you know, and it's like, God, that people go, what is he doing? He really is trusting God. He or she's trusting God because he's going to act on our behalf. And then the world is going to see God because of what he did for us, because we called him into this situation. So don't pass lightly this whole thing about the president asking us to pray. See, what he did yesterday had nothing to do with the message. He just fit in with my message. Okay, it was a great piece to add to it. All right. Now, so we see that. But what about us? We're talking about, but what do we believe? You're going to this mountain. Ain't no way God's going to move that. I know he can't, but he's not going to do it for me. I don't, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know, it's too big. It's too bad. He just can't do it. So the real issue is what we think. The real issue is what we think. And like here, Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, or his ear dull that he cannot hear. See, well, you didn't hear me. You did. I was praying this morning, you know, and it's just kind of one of those things, so I got a little loud, you know. Nobody there but Linda, she couldn't hear me. Scared the dog, but other than that, but a little loud, you know. Like God, he can't hear me. You know, like if I whispered, what? Yeah, you know, she can't, you know, I'm getting up my age. I can't, I go, what? I go get some restaurant. I can't. She goes, waitress says something to me. I'm waste. Yeah. Anyway, so the guy's not, he ain't here, fine. He hears just fine, all right? And so we see that his ear's not dull of hearing, you know, and his hand's not too short. God, if you could just reach down, I know it's a little too far, if you could only. God, I could do this. I can do this. See, now here the point of it is, and he's telling us, again, he's speaking to the church. He's talking to the church, right? And he said, there has no one ever trusted God in vain. No one's ever trusted God in vain. I mean, you're standing before the Lord. You know, I asked, you didn't do nothing. Just glad I'm here to tell you. You know, I don't think so. You know, no one's ever trusted the Lord in vain. He is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think. And you always, you know, God gives us a few examples, and they're Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody was a poorly educated shoe salesman. And a friend of him told him and says, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man who's fully given to him. That's what he said. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully given to him. D.L. Moody says, I want to be that man. Okay? D.L. Moody was the Billy Graham of the 18th century. We have Moody Bible Institute that's still a major Bible teaching institute in Chicago that he founded. See, what uneducated shoe salesman. He's, I want to be that man. See, all he did was release God. He's a great guy to read about, by the way. And he had a, I love this. You ever read through the Bible and you see some of these names? You know, I mean, the places, I mean, they're hard. I mean, you go, I mean, things you would never say. And they said, and so D.L., he literally was, I think he just went to third grade. I really do believe that. And he's telling us, well, when you read, and all he did was read, study the scriptures. And he says, what about these names, these big names that are so hard to pronounce? He said, just say them fast. So I remembered that. I actually, if you ever see me and you come up a Mitsubishi, I go, I'm introduced. And we'll just move on. Now, but they go, what did he say? I don't know. We'll look it up. Anyway, but he just said, just say it fast. So you can't pronounce it, just say it fast. Now, anyway, so, but here we have a New Testament verse too that along that lines, Ephesians 3:20, it says this, and I have it over here. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Maybe it's the same thing, Old Testament, New Testament. God is trying to release himself through his people. See, I want God to do this, and we should pray. He tells us to pray all the time, but he wants to release through his people, and he wants the people, God, to see him going through his people, because then his people become a witness to God. We become evangelists, because God is a God of action. God is a God of action. Now, and so he's telling us these things, and we need to learn that. And so God will let us to do, God will do as much for us as we let him do in us. And this is the reason Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done for you. People, I mean, and I'm challenged. I don't think I'm putting this on you. I'm challenged because I read these verses. Just speak to the mountain, he'll move. I was like, whoa. And you say, who said this? Anyway, it's Jesus did. Well, you died. I believe Jesus died and paid the penalty for my sin. I'm forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Now, I think this moving mountain stuff, I don't think he had his act together. Is that a little inconsistent? No. And so, again, and you've already told me that the problem is me. So, okay, I take that. And so I've got to understand how to receive from God and move and have a confidence that he's going to move mountains for me. If I say, God, I want to see you work through me, and I want to show you, I want to be an avenue of your power. And so that's why we want to be able to. And then what it says here in this verse in Matthew 29, then he says, according to your faith, it will be done. Now, what does that mean? According to your faith. According to your faith. Because you try real hard. You grunt when you pray. Or you're like Wallace this morning. You holler at God and disturb the dog when you pray. Those are the people I'm looking for. No, he said, according to your faith, it will be done. According to what you believe. Do you believe God can move that mountain? First of all, I believe God can do anything. I believe he's working through me in the name of the Almighty God. I speak God's word to move in that situation. I believe God. See, according to your faith, what do you believe about God? I don't believe God can do that. That means you don't believe that about God. See? And so he puts it, just learn, continue to walk. And this is what I'm doing. I'm showing this to you. God acts on our behalf. That's what these verses say. God acts on our behalf. Now, some biblical believing churches that don't believe that. Don't believe that, all right? But the Bible clearly says God acts on our behalf. And, of course, we have the verse Isaiah 64:4, which tells us that, you know, that's a good thing to go on. But it's easier to say, no, God doesn't act on our behalf or like that. Then that lets us off the hook, right? Because we don't have to challenge him. Amen? We're safe. We're good with God. He does nothing. I know he can't do nothing. But when I die, I go to heaven because he's going to do something then, you know. Do you see how inconsistent it is? God is pressing us on the edge of that. And are we surprised that, like, again, as believers, that something worldwide like this would happen and everybody is scared out of their mind? You know what God says? Great opportunity, church. Great opportunity. But you know, we're hunkering under the same table as all the other unbelievers. We're scared. And we go, you think you're scared? Man, I'm scared. See, and God, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You see what I'm saying? So he's telling us something here. Wash your hands. Oh, you know, I love God, so I'm not washing my hands. You see, I'm trying to make the point there. All right. So anyway, so we know that God acts on our behalf. He wants us to cry out him. He wants us to cry out to him to intervene in our circumstances. Let us pray. Let us speak God's word. God's word does not return void. We just have the verse there. Hold that verse out. God, you said, you know, Hezekiah, as Ray would say, he gets a letter from the king of Assyria. He puts it before God. He said, look at what he said. Look at what he said. God, you said, you didn't say that wouldn't happen. See? So what you do is, you know, his word does not return void. And here's the other thing, and we don't realize, people, taking this one, are spiritually thirsty. They live in the desert with no water, okay? That's why they're scared out of their mind now. See? And so God is looking and he's telling the church, intercede for them. Intercede for them. Let them see God through you. I mean, you don't tell them what they're doing is foolish or anything else, but you offer in confidence with the people around us. And God is looking for someone to intercede, and he's appalled that nobody's interceding. Can you imagine? I'm being a little facetious, but I just think it's funny. God's in heaven with all his angels. He goes, I just want somebody to intercede. And President Trump goes, I want all God's people to pray. God's going up there. Can you believe that? Of all people, it was Trump. Ask people. It was Trump. I mean, I got the world full of believers, and it was Trump. And he's the one who asked. He says, oh, my gosh. It's like starting all over. You know, did my people get? No, it was Trump. You know, okay, whatever. We'll work. You know, so anyway, so that was ad lib. I have no idea. But what it is, so we want to, is full. I mean, we have as much authority as President Trump before the Lord. He says it. And what he wants us to do, people at BCC, to be full of faith, full of God, and asking God to move, and he wants to respond to our words. I mean, amen? That's what he wants us to do. I just want you to respond. Well, I didn't go to seminary. Neither did D.L. Moody. You know, well, I didn't have a college education. D.L. Moody went to the third grade. You know, because it's not D.L. Moody, it's God working in us. And that's the connection, God working in us, the whole point. And that's what he said. And we have a great message, and I kind of paraphrase, but look what it says in Isaiah 55:1. This is our message, okay, because we know the background. This is the message, Isaiah 55:1. Everybody that's under the table, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. I have confidence. I have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have confidence I have a home in heaven. Yes, I wash my hands, but I have a confidence in God. And this, and we speak this way because we have absolute assurance. We have absolute assurance. Now let's go back to where we started. We'll put Isaiah 55:11 up. This is a good verse to memorize, carry in your pocket, and it's just powerful. Now just took everything that we've said and look at it. God's telling you, put your name there. God's telling you, my word that goes out from my mouth, it does not return to me empty. I said, let there be light, and there was light. It does not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I purpose. It will do it. You speak it. You're an avenue. We're an avenue for God, and we speak his word. He said, I will do it. It shall succeed for the thing which I sent it. See, we're in connection with God and what God is doing, and God's moving in us, and he's using us as an avenue, and we are a witness to him to see a mighty God. We always say, oh, I've said this. I mean, it's, oh, God, I'd just like to see a miracle. If these people just see a miracle. And he said, no, you be the miracle in their life. You be that miracle. Their kid's sick? Pray for them. You know? That you move. You be that miracle. Well, gosh, I don't know if you do anything. You're worried about you. You're ushering God in the situation. Let them worry about God. See? You're overriding what God says. Well, I don't know if I ask to pray, then they'll think I'm silly. Then I think there's too much I in that conversation. See? No, I will pray, but I'll just, God's moving that situation. And then we start walking around thinking like that and talking like that. Then all of a sudden, we're different. And everybody knows we're different. You know? And why? Because I'm like D.L. Moody. You know, third grade education. See, it doesn't make any difference. Because I want to be that man that's fully given to God. I just want to be that man. He said, all right, I'll show up if you ask that. So that's our absolute assurance. So absolute assurance. And that's in this situation like this. And I want to share this again. Commentary. Folks, I think something's going to happen worse than this. Something's going to happen worse than this, okay? And you ain't seen nothing yet as far as panic goes. But the church is not to panic. Wash your hands, but it's not to panic. Amen? And we're to step forward with an assurance. Assurance of Christ. And I don't want, he'll give you something to say. Just step into it, acknowledge him, and he will move with you. Amen? Let's see. Everybody here have at least a third grade education? I'm going to put you on the spot. Never ask you. Everybody went third grade? Okay. You qualify. You qualify. D.L. Moody did it. I don't know if you just go to the second grade. Maybe you don't. But the third grade at least. You know? D.L. Moody. I want to be that man. Look up D.L. Moody and read his life. And for a third grade guy, he wrote a bunch of books. Bunch of books. Okay, so our physical well-being, spiritual capacity comes from Jesus and his word alone. Therefore, we do not fear. And now we understand a little bit when Jesus says this. We'll close with this. Take this whole thing and say, well, Jesus, what do you mean? He said this, John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. It's just me. That's what Jesus, it's just me. Right? I am the bread of life. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. And God, absolute assurance, but an absolute assurance in you, God. Absolute assurance in you. And that when your word goes forth, it does not come back void. And sometimes the word is like a seed, and we put it in the ground, and we water it, and we want it to come up within 30 minutes. But as we water it, and it germinates, and it grows in its time, it sprouts, and it grows, and it produces a multitude of fruit. It's just what the word does. It's just what the word does. So get in the word. Ask God to show you what to do. Talk to him. Speak his word and know it does not come back void. It will accomplish everything God intended it to accomplish. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.